Hello and welcome to the Weichert Workforce Mobility Podcast. We probably need a better name. We've got to come up with a better name, do you think?
That's your job.
I know, that's what I'm at. We've got to come
up with a
better
name. Don't you have people to do that?
Exactly. We need a snazzier name, but for now it is the Weichert Workforce Mobility Podcast, bringing you in a very condensed amount of time some subject matter expertise and vital information that will make it easier for you to manage your mobile workforce more effectively and more cost efficiently, hopefully, as well. My name is Tim McCarney. I work in the marketing department here at Weichert and joined today by Jennifer Cannell, who is the practice leader in our advisory services group. Jen, thank you as always for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Tim.
It's the first podcast we've done in 3 years, but we're kind of picking up where we left off.
Yeah.
And today we want to talk about a topic that is very important, extended business travelers. We are seeing companies utilize EBT. We'll call them EBTs for the sake of this podcast. We see them used with greater frequency these days. They are very different beasts than your traditional, say, short-term or long-term assignments. The problem is that whereas there seems to be a little more process around the standard long-term and short-term assignments, EBTs are almost like the Wild Wild West, it seems sometimes. They just sort of send, we need someone out here, we need someone to go do this, and they send folks overseas, companies send folks overseas, and unfortunately, there are specific tax and visa regulations that should be adhered to, and companies will adhere to these when it comes to the long-term or short-term assignments. When it comes to EBTs, sometimes there's a bit of a gray area. Maybe they are looking the other way at certain things, but the fact is that these employees need to be recognized for the risks that they present, mainly in the areas of visa and tax compliance. And Jennifer just conducted an extensive survey of some corporate clients, not just clients, but all sorts of corporate mobility managers to identify what some of the challenges are and how companies are dealing with their EBTs and managing that mobile workforce population. What can you tell us, now that I'm done babbling, what can you tell us about the survey?
Well, about the survey itself, nearly 80 companies participated. And the idea behind our survey is there are a lot of surveys out there, and they include trends, things, you know, is it going to increase, decrease, what are the obstacles and challenges, some of the solutions that are presented, and ours does cover that as well. But what we wanted to do is include the voice of several areas within organizations, including how companies are charging back for these types of assignments, the compliance risks, the immigration, as well as tax, and the mobility benefits, of course. What we wanted to do is include the voices of all of those areas within organizations and put them all into one survey, one body of data, in which we could kind of synthesize the information to come up with a general approach that companies are taking.
I guess the first question we should ask is, what is an extended business travel? I mean, I think is there a common definition of that among companies?
Right. So one thing that we do is we presented a definition based on my experience of working with companies around the world as far as what international extended business travel is, because I think that's something that companies are struggling with, who to include in this category. So what we define an extended business traveler as is an employee who travels from one country to another on repetitive trips to work in the same location for an extended period of time. That typically reflects, could be more than a few days up to either several weeks or months in total. We asked companies if they agreed with that definition based on their own activity, and nearly all of them agreed. 84% of them agreed with that definition. The ones that were outside of that, and there were only a few, they said that they either don't have a formal definition or it's anything up to 3 months with no defined details within that.
And when it comes to these types of travelers, what is the distinction between, say, you know, I was talking at the beginning about long-term and short-term assignments, what we consider the quote-unquote traditional assignment. Extended business travelers, what do companies typically use these people for? When they're sending someone off on an extended business travel or that type of an assignment, what's the thinking behind that when they send someone out?
Sure. Well, you know, we asked that question in our survey, and what rose to the top was that they are responding to the needs of their business units.
Okay.
And I honestly think that statistic actually masks all of the other reasons that they cited, which includes things like addressing specific projects, training, attending meetings, could be attending company meetings or attending client meetings. And then further down the list are things that are revenue generating items. They could be sales functions or conducting training on behalf of clients. Functions like that is what they're used for. But you brought up a great point about the long-term versus short-term. And we have seen a significant increase in companies that have been using short-term assignments to respond to projects and immediate business needs. What we're finding is that the pace of business has only accelerated over the past few years. And companies are finding that short-term assignments may not be nimble enough or agile enough for them to accomplish those goals. So we are seeing an increase in extended business travel. It's only been made more complex by the changes in immigration and tax regulations that are making this a really tough type of assignment for mobility managers to kind of navigate through.
Well, I always like to accentuate the positive. You know me, I'm always a sunshiny kind of guy. that's just my way.
No comment.
But I do want to ask you, the first question I have is, you, in addition to the survey, you're also working with corporate mobility managers on a daily basis, not just here in the States, but all over the world. What is the thing, when it comes to EBTs, what is it you see companies mostly doing wrong? Again, I hate to be pessimistic, but let's start with the things they're doing wrong.
Well, you know, the fact that so many companies responded to the survey in a world nowadays where companies, a lot of mobility managers don't have time to respond to surveys,
right,
and the depth of which they provided open-ended answers tells me that this is a concern amongst companies. This is something that they're challenged with. They want to know what other companies are doing. Mm-hmm. And the thing that came out loud and clear is the inconsistent approach among companies. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It just reflects the fact that most companies are in the infancy of developing their programs. They're at the stage where they're discovering, they're doing the discovery, understanding what their EBT activity is, and they're exploring approaches of other companies. One thing that I found is that 26% of companies, so a quarter of the companies that participated in this study, they don't even know what their EBT volume is. But more than half of them, 57%, know that it's going to increase. So right there, that says that they know that this is a growing issue with them. What are they doing wrong? Well, most of them are struggling with who should own this within their companies. Should it be mobility? Right now, they're finding out they're kind of having a knee-jerk reaction to these requests from their business units. Business unit is saying, I need to send somebody from here to there, not, you know, just for a couple of weeks. Maybe they'll have to go back and forth a few times. Is there any kind of housing or accommodations that we can provide to them? And the mobility professional within the organization is, that's how they're finding out about it in most cases. Otherwise, they're finding out about it from static travel reports. So they're having that knee-jerk reaction to how they can support these business units with their projects. And they're not being strategic about how they use these people on a go-forward basis.
Well, again, not trying to be the voice of doom, but when you consider the risks at hand, if people overstay their visas, for example, or if they're not paying off the appropriate tax governing bodies or whatnot, if companies are found in violation of tax or visa immigration laws and moving their EBTs, if these risks are known to organizations and they know that there's risk out there, why is there a... For those companies who don't really address it or who might not have a solid policy in place, is a situation where they literally don't understand the risks, or is it a case where, let's just keep doing it until we get caught?
Well, it really depends who you ask within the organization. I think the mobility managers that I've spoken with and participated in this survey, they understand the risks. They we're finding that they are taking different approaches, and this can be scary because business travel, particularly extended business travel, they can carry the same risks as any long-term assignment.
Right.
That includes things like the corporate tax liabilities in a foreign jurisdiction, subjecting the traveler to double income taxation, work permit, of course, scrutiny, which we're hearing more and more about today in the news, local statutory employment laws, as well as any kind of required employment in a local area, local affiliate. One thing that we're also finding, too, is that the tax authorities in these countries and jurisdictions, it's not just about the time you spent in the country. Now they want to know, what role did you play? What were your duties? Of course, how long you're going to be there, who's paying the compensation, how is it being paid, in the number of visits. Above that, we're finding that the record keeping for these kinds of assignments is becoming more complex as well. Countries are requiring specific documentation. They're making those rules more specific. And this is, of course, making this a little bit more daunting for companies that have to administer these types of assignments. So to answer your question, yeah, there is a little bit of this, wait until we get caught. And we're finding that among executives. Many of the companies that I've spoken with, the mobility managers are trying to kind of push the needle a little bit, move that needle forward to formalize this. But at this point, a lot of their leadership doesn't feel that this is a problem. And some of the candid conversations I've had with those mobility managers is that a lot of the executives, they don't see this as a problem yet. It's not on their radar because they're seasoned travelers themselves. They know how to get in and out of countries pretty fluidly. When I ask mobility managers, what would it take for you to develop a formal approach? Many of them say, well, it's when another person in leadership does get caught. And when one of their peers get caught, and it becomes an issue for the company, mm-hmm. that's when it's going to happen. That was a pretty candid answer, I have to say.
That is the old asking for forgiveness instead of permission. It's kind of an interesting take on that. So as far as the most basic precautions that companies should be taking with their EBTs, is there one thing you recommend or a couple of things? What would be your strongest recommendation?
I could make a lot of recommendations here, but for the sake of the podcast.
Yes. We're all about quick hits here, the fast take.
You don't know what you don't know, right? So I would say the first thing is you have to understand your EBT activity. You have to pull some reports. You have to talk to some people. Understand where your activity is. I know that a lot of it for companies is still under the radar. They don't know it. Oftentimes the person from their business unit is asking them for support, and that's when they find out the person's already been going back and forth, and you have to do a little bit of fixing before you can be proactive. I think a lot of mobility managers would agree with that. One thing about understanding where your employees are, what locations they're in, is start to look at tracking as a possible solution. It's going to help you to identify where those people are. It's going to support the development of a program. It's also going to support your duty of care, which is very important to companies, being able to even be proactive in reaching out to employees when they're on extended business travel. It's going to help you to develop a formal approach and a perspective that the company can get behind. So, and without a formal approach, mobility managers are most likely identifying their travelers through travel reports or when business unit contacts are contacting them on an ad hoc basis. So they should also include the input from their corporate tax or transfer pricing, their immigration department or provider, as well as the tax provider who's providing advice to the employees, and, of course, your mobility service provider and how to administer the program. Get all of those voices together. You could even develop a task force or some sort of a committee that in which you can collect their input and get all of those parties at the table together to develop a program.
Excellent. Well, you had mentioned a few minutes ago about the percentage of companies that you, as part of the survey, they had mentioned that they'll be using more EBTs, mm-hmm. That number seems to be on the rise. Is this, just based on what you see in your day-to-day contact with companies, is this something you think will be maybe superseding traditional short and long-term assignments? Are they eventually going to be replaced by EBTs, or do you think there's just still too much confusion around them to become the most predominant form of employee mobility?
Right. So the statistic that we found, or the data, was 57% of companies are saying that it's going to increase. However, a quarter of the companies in this survey don't even know what their activity is. It'll never replace the need for short-term or long-term assignments. The need for EBTs is usually focused on different roles within the company. However, previously, extended business travel or any kind of business travel was never something that was part of mobility itself. This is something that's has just been adopted or being observed by mobility in recent years. I think that it's going to become more of a function of mobility in the future. It's not going to be handled separately by the travel provider or just the travel department. I think it's going to be a more collaborative approach. I do see it as a different animal than short-term and long-term assignments, however. It's very easy to develop a global approach to long-term and short-term assignments. extended business travel really does have to be handled on a case-by-case basis. And you need that collaboration between those four functional groups that I mentioned in order to assess each and every person that goes through any sort of extended business travel program or policy. Moving in the future, it's not going to replace those traditional types of assignments, but I think it's going to certainly increase the visibility of mobility, as they're the ones who reach out to those different groups. They are the most likely department or group to manage these types of assignments.
And you've been sort of living and breathing this survey now for the last couple of months. You just got back. You're up in Canada presenting this for a number of mobility groups up there. And you will be conducting a webinar this Wednesday, June 27th at 2 p.m. You can go to our website, wykitworkforcemobility.com, and you can find all the registration information there. But you can hear more of this stimulating conversation, an entire hour's worth of a deep dive on the survey and the survey results. The last question I want to ask you, the last 60 seconds here, what's one thing about the survey results that surprised you?
I would definitely say it's the open-ended discussion and opinions shared by mobility professionals about the role that tracking should play within assignments. Some felt that it was an invasion of privacy to have any sort of interactive tool that can monitor what people are doing on assignment and as well as their leisure time there. There's certainly this new trend called bleisure, which is when the person is out on business travel, but at the same time, they take a few days of leisure time.
I'm writing that down. I like that. Leisure.
However, overall, mobility managers do feel that they are the most equipped to be able to coordinate this type of assignment and manage it with the right resources. And in order to do that, they do need to look at those tracking tools. It's just those opinions on whether it's part of their duty of care to know where those people are, whether they're on business or leisure time, or whether it's an invasion of privacy, which is certainly something that's very much in line with what the company's culture is around that kind of a topic.
Excellent. Myself, I welcome the government to listen to my phone calls. You know, if someone finds them interesting, they're more than welcome to have at it. I don't care. If they're monitoring me through my toaster and my waffle iron, I welcome the company. I'm happy to share my innermost thoughts with them. Jen, thank you very much for your time and for discussing the survey. Again, if you have any questions regarding the survey, you can visit our website, wykitworkforcemobility.com. And once again, to plug it, there will be a webinar this Wednesday, June 27th at 2 p.m. That's Eastern Time. And you can register on our website as well for that. Jen, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And we got to work on a new name for this. We'll figure something out.
All right.
Get some time.
Will do. Yes.
All right. Sounds like a good lunchtime project.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.